He's Doug Christie.
He's a Hall of Famer, too, in my heart.
He's Jason Ross.
What Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Spend your afternoons with DC and Jay Ross on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Here we go, second hour underway. Jason Ross, Doug Christie. And so we've had some fun with this week, and we will do more of this next week as well, because we're just now less than a week from the NBA draft. The Kings are picking number 9. They're picking number 39. That's what they're scheduled to going in. There could be draft day trades, trade beforehand, who knows. But as of now, Doug, we're looking at them picking 9th, and we've been looking at candidates for the last couple days that could be there in that position. And one of the guys we're going to chronicle today in our NBA draft player profile, Davion Mitchell. Listed at 6'2", 195. I read some things on him today where maybe he was actually measured a bit shorter than that, maybe closer to 6 or 6'1", but still, I think more point guard than shooting guard. Certainly played that for the national champs. A good defensive player. A guy that just kind of gets it. He's one of those guys to me that you just want on your basketball team. Now, and you go, what does he do? He's a hooper. He plays. Yep. Like he... He'll get it. He'll battle. Looks like he competes. I don't know that I see a lot of deficiencies. They're just maybe more talented people, but tough guy. Like that toughness, an edge.
Yeah.
Like a lot of things, a lot of likable things, and then a champion as well.
You know, when I looked at Davion in the national champ, I won't even say national championship game, but on the way to the national championship, the efficiency of him as a scorer, I thought was. I've said to you, I've said to our listeners, like for me, I think the next iteration of basketball is efficiency of motion. It's going to be quicker passing, tight movement, just all around. Less is more. Just boom, 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 boom. Ball's moving around. Guys are screening. Well, that's what I see when I see Davion, because I saw some of the yank dribbles, inside-out dribbles, between the legs, ready to take advantage of the space that was created. Where he probably needs to improve, and this would be, I would say this, because I don't see this as a weakness in his game, is pick and roll and understanding how to play the pick and roll. But if you don't have a college coach or a high school coach that plays pick and roll basketball, which is more of a professional style, that's an area. So, and that's going to be offensively and defensively. Defensively, I think he competes at a really high level, stays in front of his man, catches the first move. As I told you, 6'1", let's say
205.
Okay, 6'1", 205. I see a comparison on there of Ty Lawson. I think a little better than Ty.
Maybe better defensively. I don't know, better off. Whatever. Yeah. But
Ty had his thing offensively. I think this kid can shoot the ball better. Mm-hmm. Like, his jump shot, different things, it's going to evolve. But Ty was a decent player in the NBA, no doubt about it. But defensively, he is a stalwart. And I also think that him being a leader of his team, took on the challenge of it. You could tell they wanted it, and his competitive greatness, I thought, was big time. And you need that to succeed at the professional level. That competitive greatness is a must.
Yeah, there's that. I go to the edge. I thought Baylor had an edge, but I think he helped define that edge. I look at the championship game. I remember he had a near triple-double, but mm-hmm. It was the timeliness of – I don't think he was the high scorer of the game. But he peppered the stat sheet, got a block, got a steal. He guarded Suggs. I mean, like, those are the like, bring him on. I'm taking on their best player. So I think that's the cloth he's cut from.
45% from the three, 52% from the field. Now this is a knock, and it was a knock against Duarte yesterday. Mm-hmm. Was Duarte 24?
Yeah.
This kid's 22.
Old man.
Oh, my goodness.
Dinosaur.
I don't – that one doesn't
– Not at all.
It doesn't bother me. They don't have NBA miles on their body. On top of that, you can knock a year off of that because of COVID. And if you're looking at it that way, I think he's mature. And the fact that he plays both ends of the floor, I think he – depending on where he lands – because I also see him as right now, unless he really improves as a lead guard, I see him as a perfect six man. Mm-hmm. That's okay. You come in. You're going to change the tempo of the game. You're going to play both ends. You're going to get yourself some steals out in the open court. You know, knock down some threes. Get after people. Like, that's what I see him at. But an elite one. Like, if he trends where you think, he has the capability of maybe being a six man of the year type of six man.
I know you had said before, and I think you're right. I mean, as we look at this and we start to look at more people, I go, you know, there is going to be a good player or two or three at nine. Does it make the most sense for the Kings to stay there? Are they drafting, if they got a guy like Mitchell, a backup, mm-hmm. which is okay.
Yeah.
It could be a rotation player that jumps into a starter years to come. But I always say you do take talent, best talent available. But in this case, let's say if we just say on Davion Mitchell, where a position at the moment, Doug, of strength is the point guard position, whether that's Fox, whether that's Halliburton, DeLon Wright. I mean, you have three capable people. You wouldn't turn down talent like this, but does that talent versus need here become a little bit cloudier?
Well, also, you got to think there are question marks on the Kings. Mm-hmm. So Marvin Bagley, who we had Mark Spears on, said, make sure that you sign him. Buddy Hield's name was out there. Terrence Davis. We don't know what's going to happen with him. This is that type of player. He's not as big as Davis. But if you have your three-guard rotation, because Bobby Jackson, our very own, he's not a big guy. But he played bigger than he was, on top of the fact, like, that's what you're finding. And only Monty knows those moves. Like, are some pieces going to move around the board? And if they are, this is the type of piece that can fit in. So initially, if you draft a player like Davion Mitchell, you're going, okay, you got Fox, you got Halliburton, you got a backup in Terrence Davis. Who else do we got? Not Mo Harkless. Who else do we got back there?
DeLon Wright.
Yeah. Okay, we got some people. Well, if he knows that, okay, we're going to try to make these moves, this kid may fit in perfectly. So, and at that particular time, I'm more talent than need. You try to fill yourself a need and you miss on a talent, that can be a big thing, because talent in this league means a lot.
Yeah, and mock drafts today, looking at a couple different ones, saw him as high as 8, so right before the Kings to 14, 15. So he's in the neighborhood. He's in the
Who's
range.
Who's drafting at 8?
Right before the Kings, that's the second pick of Orlando. And Orlando, to me, is in a unique spot, too, with two picks. They could take a flyer on one. They could, you know, trade the two. They kind of feel like they're in the reboot anyway, so maybe they want 5 and 8. I mean, when you move Vucevic,
they got Cole Anthony.
Yeah,
this would be a perfect type of guy right behind Cole.
Yeah.
That's what I
push
mean.
Him that, hey, maybe he's better and right. let's upgrade. Like,
got Fultz too, though.
Step your game up.
That's true.
See, Fultz is an interesting one because regardless of what we want to say about him, he can play multiple positions out there because he's that skillful.
And
he's coming
off the injury.
Right. He's coming off the injury, and he had started, it looked like, to figure some things out. He's got the handles. I'm just judging him off when he was at the University of Washington. The kid could do everything on the court. I wouldn't have picked him number one, but the point was he was a high draft pick, and he started to figure it out. So that's a good point, Jay. But just think, if you got Cole Anthony, if you got Fultz, you put in Davion Mitchell, like, okay, now we can play big, small. Sometimes I was a point guard and Bobby's playing two, but Bobby's only 6'2",
yeah.
right? This is that type of a player. And if you get him on the right team, teach him how to play, take away, kind of like what Utah did with Jordan Clarkson. Let me take something off your plate so you don't have to worry about it. Play on the defensive end. Do whatever in the hell you want on the offensive end. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what they said to him. It kind of took something off of his shoulders and released his game a little bit. This is a type of kid you might be able to do that with.
Any chance? Who's right? Oh, 7, the Warriors. Fits there? Behind Steph, Clay, kind of somewhere in there?
Yeah.
Pick's gone.
One thing that I think is some of these players, and Tyrese is very good, you put them with higher IQ players, they even play better because the game gets more simple. A kid like this, you teach him how to play in that type of system, man.
Dangerous.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
Like them Seahawks. I saw what you did there.
I didn't.
Oh, Jay, come on. Don't do that.
No, we're all ignoring
you. He gave me the gas face. You guys ain't right.
You deserve that. You deserve
that. You're the one who said it.
I agree with Jay.
Okay.
Jay and I agree on this one. All right, we'll come back, talk more about the NBA and some rumors that are out there as well. And Katie and Bam have a funny interaction. We'll explain all that as we continue with more here on
Give my change.
What's going on here?
The guest list just keeps coming on the Carmichael Dave Show.
Joining us right now, Sean Maniac. Are you still
the dominant Nerf basketball player in that clubhouse?
Yeah, I'd definitely say I'm up there. There's definitely some guys with some solid shots, but there's also some guys that I don't think I've ever touched a basketball before. So,
The Carmichael Dave Show, weekdays from 6 to 9 on Sports 1140 KHTK and on the KHTK app.
Sacramento, Modesto, Roseville. I'm sending my bat signal out to you because if you are living in pain right now, and I know that a lot of you are, you know why? Because 77% of all adults report having foot pain. Well, if you got foot pain, visit my friends at the Good Feet store. In Sacramento, Roseville, Modesto, that is where they have locations, so there's no excuse. And you don't really need one. What you need to do is you need to go in and you need to get the demo because, like me, trust me, it sells itself. 3-step arch support system is going to do you wonders. I'm standing on number 2 right now, wear them every day. Feet, legs, hips, back, plantar fasciitis, all those things. If you are experiencing pain, trust me, check them out. And you just might need your feet to have the comfort, balance, and support that they need. And if that is the case, stop in. Free. No obligation. Personal fitting and test walk. That is free. No obligation. Personal fitting and test walk. That means there's nothing on you. Trust me on this one. Stop in. See them. Tell them DC sent you. 866-FIT-FEET or online at goodfeet.com.
All right, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll get to a little dive into the NFL. Training camps have started, at least for Pittsburgh and for Dallas. The Hall of Fame game's coming up.
Okay.
Yeah, early part of August, right after day 2 of the California Classic the next day.
Third and fourth California Classic.
Yeah. And the 5th, the NFL Hall of Fame game. Preseason's around the corner from that.
Man.
It's almost here.
Football is about to start.
Yep.
Oh, we doing that the thingy bobby thing around here?
The thingy bobby thing around here.
Yeah.
Nah, we don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. That's right.
Where's the champ? The champ?
Champ's not here today.
When champ thinks.
Is he the champ?
He's always the champ. He'll tell you he's always the champ.
He didn't win last year.
On our show Pick'ems?
Did he?
No.
Exactly. It was me and you.
Yeah.
Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. That you was – that was – say it again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that yeah was
– it was
I,
us.
I was in first, and you were there with me because we were a team, but
– you said it.
No. You're – do it again?
Yeah.
That said it. Don't do that.
Okay.
We're not a team. I see how you do.
Being as the reigning champion, maybe I'll draft my
– what do you mean the reigning champion?
I had the highest score. We were a team.
Oh, that's how we're a team. Yeah, but you have the highest score.
I think Jay was in second, so I might be drafting Jay this year.
Wow.
Let you work with Chris.
That is going to be a negative.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, carry the team then.
Yeah, I'll be by myself.
We'll see how that goes.
I have to team up with Jay.
That's not how this works. We'll see. We will see how that goes. But yeah, we'll get some football coming up at the bottom of the hour. Couple of teams, there was another rumor with the Kings, I guess someone posting out there about Philadelphia, Ben Simmons and the Kings, and the starting point for Philly would be De'Aaron Fox, and I said, well, that's the ending point.
Yes, sir.
Again, I not anti-Ben Simmons. I'd be very intrigued, very interested, but Fox and Halliburton are non-negotiable. You would want him to be a part of that, and then if I'm Philly, I'm probably not as interested as the rest of the Kings roster, so I think none of this happens.
How much of Giannis do you see in Ben Simmons?
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Not enough.
Right. Is it his unwillingness to do what Giannis – like when – was it Mark Spears that compared that? And as I was listening to him, I was like, yeah, I can see the defensive side. I see that. I even think he's a better perimeter defender than Giannis is because, like, there was a time – I know we're all – giddy about Giannis right now, but there was a time when he wouldn't stick Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, let's throw that out there. That's not a good thing because in those moments, we need you to do those things. Well, I would think that Ben Simmons would do that. The problem is Giannis's work ethic is incredible. I'm not saying that Ben Simmons is not.
But we haven't heard
but
that.
But we have not heard
and
that.
And that's alarming to me.
It is. And your unwillingness, that's the word I'm going to use. Your unwill, like, Giannis was willing to the point where we criticized him and say, like, dude, stop shooting the three. Just right. take it to the basket. I would even be okay with, like, Ben shooting and shooting some air balls because Giannis shot air balls at the free throw line.
Yeah.
But it did not deter him whatsoever from getting fouled, from going to the basket hard. Like, that's where I run into the problem with Ben. Now, when you talk about our backcourt, take that off the line, keep him. The point is, if all of that was a different play, I think that he would even have a different cachet in the league, and there would be a lot of teams that would be trying to get him.
Yeah, I think it's also telling that a team in Philly would be even remotely thinking of moving him. At this age, the investment they've put in him already. The success he's had. I mean, he's not a perfect player. That's not the point. But
there aren't really any.
All-star. Two-way player, everybody wants more offensively, but he's a triple-double-a-night type of guy.
Right.
With flaws, but to be willing to move, he's not 30.
Yeah.
He's very young still in his career. A little bit like, they're not the same player, but the Lakers and Dennis Schroeder. That's what Mark Spears also told us yesterday. Really looking to move on from him, maybe some locker room things. Well, wait a minute. Atlanta, now OKC. Now the Lakers, he's also, I think, just 24 or 25. Like, again, watching him, I think he's a good player.
I do too.
There must be some other things going on if they're willing to move on from him.
Maybe it was the Lamborghini car that looked like Tron.
I think that's a deal breaker.
That might have been it.
Yeah.
Telling me a little bit. You're living your best life.
Right. All of us love De'Aaron Fox. If we were hearing rumors of the Kings so willing to move him, we're not. They don't want to move him.
So, for instance, if De'Aaron, and he struggled, but if you look at his numbers, it looks like the bull market.
Yep,
improving every year.
Yeah,
and we hear and we watch, and I'm here to tell you because I've seen it. He works his butt off, and he's working on.
Mm-hmm.
Like if
good
we didn't
teammate, likable yeah. guy, works hard.
But if we didn't hear that would be and you're struggling. It'd be like.
Do we want to pay him this big contract? Right. Do we want him to be the face of the team? They do.
And that's just business, and that's how it goes. But he's everything, at least for me, and I'm just speaking for myself. I ain't speaking for the King. I'm just speaking for me, and it's been this way since my son called me in and said, Dad, look at this kid. And I'm like, nah, that ain't him.
I'm not looking at Bam. I'm watching De'Aaron.
That kid right there is the deal. I think that he has something that is special. I see – you know what I see a lot in him? Without the mouth is Gary Payton. He has those type of capabilities defensively, like to get after somebody. If he wants to get after him, he gets after him. I haven't seen feet like that move in the hands and just keeping your chest in front of him. Like, but Gary, you know, that was part – he was talking to you at the same time. And I think offensively, he's a better scorer. Now, Gary's a Hall of Famer, and Gary did it in a different way. But that type of lead guard, that's a lot. Understand, that's a big ask. But the point is, I think it's in there.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get it out.
Yeah. I just think that rumor, again, it came back again today. But again, if that's what Philly's looking for, then nope.
I think it would be a negative. Monty would not be doing his job if he's not picking up the phone and having conversations.
I'm sure they
are. Once I hear certain names, I'm like, I'm good. Holler at me. But you do know that I got some other things on the back burner. So because this is such a big deal, when you're talking about an all-star and moving this type of player, you're probably going to need another team.
Yep.
And if you need to holler at me, holler at me.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here. I'll pick up the phone. We can have a conversation. But this other thing, I'm not feeling you on that.
Yeah, a couple teams I'm going to continue to watch here with free agency coming up and just where they are, where they've been, Lakers and the Warriors. Warriors in the sense, Doug, where they have Wiggins, they have Wiseman, some people that I think people might want, two picks that are high. Like, I think they can be a team that also goes, wait, we got Steph still right at the sweet spot of his prime.
Yeah.
Clay's coming back, Draymond. We know we can be really good. Let's become a team like adding, boom, this player, we're the team to beat. So I'm watching them. And then the Lakers in the same sense of champions a year ago, one of the teams to watch this year. Injuries hurt them. But
I don't know.
LeBron, though, you also don't want to wait. I mean, a LeBron AD, I think they need – they can't just sit with what they have.
No, they're on now money. They don't have time to be
That's
playing
why I'm
around
because like,
they're on
get
the
it
clock.
Right. Yep.
AD is constantly hurt. That's a thing. That Golden State thing, watch out because that could just be out of water.
Yeah, and be good again for 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, you could have a thing. We don't know about Wiseman, what he's doing. I know he's trading different things, but all of a sudden you might go, oh, he's the center.
Yeah, and maybe he's part of what they're going for.
Right, and take a little off Draymond because he's getting a little older and Clay comes back and maybe he's not everything, but he's knocking down threes and defensively he's solid. We saw what Steph did last year.
Yeah, watch out for them too. So we'll see what goes on there. NFL is beginning. It's basically going on now. Camps have opened for the Cowboys and the Steelers. And also, more trouble for the Packers. We know Rodgers, we're waiting to see what's happening with him, but his star receiver, Devontae Adams, is on a standstill with his contract talks. We'll address that. Some NFL talk when we come back here on KHDK.
Hey, young Jason Wright. Jay, young Jason Ross used to be in the mirror, homie. I'm telling you, he was... Yeah. Look at old Ralph Tresvant over here.
In my arms.
Mr. Sensitivity.
Yes. Okay. It doesn't rain in Southern California.
Come on, man. Cool it now. You have some candies?
Watch out.
You know what candies are? Crayons?
No.
Shoes? Clear bottom?
I did not.
Okay. I see 80s tight pants, Jason Ross.
Too tight.
Too tight?
Yeah.
Okay. Mullet?
Nah, late 80s, yeah.
Okay.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Is my mullet turned into a flip. It was like a little curl.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
It's long gone.
Pack of cigarettes in your shoulder.
Candy
rolled
ones.
Up.
How about you? What was your 80s outfit du jour?
Man, I had everything from parachute pants, crayons,
What was your basketball shoe in the 80s that you liked the most? Like,
you know, the Dr. J's, the just those leather Converse ones. Then when Nike started making them, that kind of changed the game. Prior to that, it was Converse. Jay always, how was you playing in Converse? Because when you don't know what you don't know. Like,
right.
I don't really know that my feet hurt right now because they don't really hurt because this is what we do. And it probably built my feet up to be able to do that sort of thing. That was it. And then college, Pepperdine was Reebok, so I had I had the Dennis Johnson joints, the black ones. Woo!
I had some Reeboks I loved in high school, but Nike too. Like there was a little 3/4 cut that Barkley had that I used to like to wear.
Okay. Yeah.
The little strap on the front. Yeah.
You big boned it. Brown Mountain Rebound.
No,
I see
you. I was.
Oh, that's when you were swelt.
Oh, I was
svelte.
Feet set, jumper wet. Yes.
Look at it. Hey, could you dunk?
I could, but it was...
Volleyball?
That was more of the problem. I could dunk a volleyball. I won't say easier. Basketball, it was a palming thing, or I'd get there and just... I mean, it would just be a...
That means you can't dunk.
A dunk, but not... There was no tricks, not on a 10-foot, no.
If you can get over the rim, like...
Which I could.
Your palm?
Yeah.
You can dunk.
Yeah.
It's just a timing thing.
Yep. Yeah, and, you know, I found myself, I was a better, and I don't know why, maybe there's an answer to this, I felt like I jumped better off 2 feet.
Well, it's a thing. There's 2 feet jumpers, and there's 1 foot jumpers.
I was flying. I just, you could almost be on a post-up turn, and I would have just as good a chance where I ran. I don't know. I just wasn't as good.
That's why, like, a guy like Michael Jordan was so different, because he could do both. Like, who was that? Did he dunk on with Charlotte Hornets? Kupchak.
Kelly Trepuka?
Trepuka.
Yeah.
Just all on his back. But that was, he got his feet set 2 foot, but then he would also take off and jump off 1 foot. Dominique Wilkins, 2 foot dunker. Just, oh my goodness. Yeah. Rex Chapman, 1 foot dunker.
Yep.
Remember the. Throw it over to
He showed that on – I saw that on one of his
nasty
tweets. When was the first time you dunked?
I take that back. I'm sorry. That wasn't right. Ninth grade. I'm talking in the game.
Either way, that's
– Well, before that, at the playground, we had dunk hoops. But then, you know, every once in a while, I'd rub one in, you know. But I don't –
How tall were you in
ninth grade? I don't count that. Probably 6'2".
In ninth grade?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I was right around. And I stayed that way for, by the time I left high school, I was like 6'3". So I was right in that. I stayed. And then I grew in college. But in a game, Mark Morris High School, JV. I was on JV, ninth grade. Get a breakaway. And I can remember it. I'm like, I'm about to try. Your boy was smiling. I'm dribbling. Because, you know, when you got, like, high school games, you got the JV to play first, varsity plays second. Yeah. Well, there's a time where people start to come because the varsity is about to play. It was that time, Jason. Yeah. Your boy got a breakaway. I'm
long
like,
legs. Just
yep. Went up. Boom. What did I just do? And I think everyone, there was one kid on the varsity that dunked quite often, but other than that, everyone was kind of shocked, like, what just happened? And I'm like, yeah, what? Yeah.
2 points.
That's it. Yeah. Come on, kid. Keep it moving.
Man, so you entered high school. I mean, so you graduated in eighth grade and you're probably 6 feet, 6'1".
Yep. Right around then. Had like a 5'2". Little spurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
Man. Good for you.
Well, it worked out.
Yeah.
I would say so.
You should have gone on to play some basketball.
Yeah, I thought about it, but radio is my thing. I got a radio face.
Yes.
Come on.
How about some NFL, DC? It's coming up. Camps have opened up, as we said, for the Cowboys and the Steelers. Hall of Fame games coming up August 5th. There's some things with the Cowboys to watch if we're looking at them specifically. One, Dak's return.
Are you going here, man?
What?
Every year we do Cowboys, and then...
Oh, I'm not putting him on that pedestal by any means, but
okay.
Zeke, like he was the guy, and then he had his worst year.
Man, he dropped precipitously.
He was just ordinary.
Yeah, like
if even that.
I think the number was 40% off of his off of his total, and it's just every year. And then he was in Cabo, and it's kind of just went blah. And there was some sound from him talking about he sounds like he's ready. So he's going
to be.
Better be, no doubt.
And then Dak, I think everybody has kind of admired at how like he's just progressed. Like I think he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league and then just had that awful injury. So
I
he's coming
say
off
this.
Of that.
Have you seen video of him?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you see? Because I saw a little bit of a limp.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
As like he was rolling out. And that's to be, I would say this. I'm not trying to throw shade on Dak because I'm a fan Not of the Cowboys, but but I like his story. He's been through a lot. Obviously, brother commits suicide. All the different things that have gone on with Dak. But when I watched him roll out, and that was a big question, rolling out to the left and then making a throw, and that was one of the first things that they said that he did. That is impressive right there.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell we're watching. But
opening
ceremony. That was impressive.
Other different Olympics, yeah.
But when I think of Dak, I watch him roll out, and it just looked a little hitch. In a giddy up.
Okay.
Now, can that change? And this is the first time that he's under center with all of his teammates. Should be exciting, though.
Yeah. And they get Pittsburgh again. Hall of Fame game, preseason games aren't much. But, you know, Big Ben, what does he look like? I know he's tried to drop some weight, tries to get back to, you know, a couple years ago, he was having some regular seasons. Didn't have a great season, even after they started. What were they, 11-0, something like that last year?
Yeah, they were. No one believed it, though. But also, it was a competition that they were playing. And
yeah.
It kind of added up, and, man, they fell off.
Big time.
In a big, big way. Losing weight, whatever. He looked good. I saw him. He was in street clothes.
Right.
He looks
better, though.
Better. Yeah. I would say that means absolutely nothing when he gets under center. He did not have the what's the animal on the savannah? Lions jump on him. And he just keeps shedding them.
Yeah. He didn't have that look.
He didn't have
that. I know
what
you're talking about. It's not a...
You get me? He did not have that look at all last year. And that was the thing that made him special, kind of.
Wildebeest.
Yeah. He didn't have a wildebeest look.
No.
Right now, he's looking beastly. He would look nice and a nice little fitted shirt on. What are you thinking in there, Jay?
He's laughing.
Jay, you feel me, Jay? Or you don't feel me on this one?
I was just trying to figure out how we turned into National Geographic all of a sudden.
You tune in right now, baby. You're going to get it all, okay?
We went from a zebra, a caribou, a hyena, something
you heard
in here.
It was the wildebeest. Yeah, but I've seen...
Wildebeest Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I've seen him shed many, but he was going down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the pride got him.
More news from the NFL. Davante Adams, one of the great receivers in the game, certainly a member of the Packers. Apparently, Doug, their contract talks are a little bit on stall. I mean, he's signed, but looking for further extensions and things like that for him. They are on hold right now, and a couple of layers to this. One, obviously, is the Aaron Rodgers situation, but not only for Davante Adams. Had Aaron Rodgers agreed to that two-year contract extension, it would have helped in the cap situation, which then could have also helped Davante Adams. So it goes back to that other question. Does the quarterback make it the receiver? Does the receiver make the quarterback? I still feel like it's more of a quarterback league, but Davante Adams would be good with a lot of different quarterbacks, but he's great with Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, and sometimes that is a thing. This one, I would say, if Rodgers was in camp doing his thing, it would be very beneficial to Davante because he's the man. And it's like, hey, I need my guy. The fact that he's not, I don't know where this puts him, but what I will say about the Green Bay Packers is they do not have the ability to lose both Rodgers and Davante Adams. This could, it could turn bad. I don't know how crazy this might get, but they seem to have some issues. And listen, if Davante Adams is being a little opportunistic, okay.
He should be.
It's business.
Yeah.
It's part of what we do. Like, you kind of need me right now, and I need my bread.
Here's the quote from Davante Adams. It said this a while back about Aaron Rodgers. That's the only guy that I've had, other than the 2017 season when he got hurt. That's the only guy I've played with. We've built a special connection over the years that has put us both in really good positions in our career. Not that he needed me to come along for it because he was already in that spot, but we've established a lot together. So it would change a lot. Doesn't mean potentially I'd be gone, but I definitely have to do some extra thinking if my guy wasn't here. So I don't know how much of it relates entirely to the Aaron Rodgers situation, but Green Bay, you know, those are their two best players. And Adams is signed. Rodgers technically is too, but he doesn't sound like he wants to be there, and that could affect, again, back to the snowball or domino effect, it could affect a lot of things for that team.
It can, and this is a team that has made it to two NFC championships. It didn't happen for them. They went out. They get rid of McCarthy. They bring in a new coach. That seems to work, but the fact that Aaron is beefing with the front office, and now you got your best receiver and his number one target, I would agree with you. When you're passing the ball, I don't care if basketball, to somebody and you got the feel for them and you know how they like it and they seem to catch it whenever, like, that's a big thing. But I think it's even more of a thing if Aaron Rodgers isn't there. Davante, get your money.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
More news on the receiving front. Word out of Saints camp, wide receiver Michael Thomas did undergo ankle surgery. Remember, he got hurt last season. It kind of derailed a lot of different things for him.
Just recently?
No, but they want to wait as long as they possibly can. He had it in June.
Why do they want to wait?
Well, you know that. Last thing you want to have is surgery, but I think they got to the point where, like, he's going to have surgery.
Oh, I'm not agreeing with that one.
Okay.
No, I agree with the fact that the last thing you want to do is to have surgery, but you should know if this is a thing or it's not a thing when we get the MRI and you look in there, like, can it heal? Will it heal? What the heck do we need to do? Because now what'd you say, June?
Yeah, so he is July, expected to miss some start of the season.
You're dang right he is. That's not good. And you just lost your Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right.
I mean, that's a – yeah. Yeah. And didn't he just get paid?
Yeah, he did because he's had an amazing start to his career. But he missed nine games over two different stints last year due to that ankle injury. And so – he had surgery. Now it's the rehab time, but there's a chance he could miss the start of the season there for the Saints.
Oh, I don't think it's a chance. I think he is.
And you're going to be err on the side of caution there, too.
You have to, especially ankle. The way those guys get tackled, guys grabbing them, and then they kind of roll up. But you have to be careful. And I think that's what ultimately people are thinking about Dak, too, is they're bringing him back now. They're going to start putting some defenders down around his feet. And that's a thing. So for Michael Thomas, man, and the Saints.
Yeah.
The NFC, man. They got some people dinged up.
Yes, they do.
There's a lot of times in the Northwest.
We say it in there's a team right down the road here. as well.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's like the NBA, it's like the NFL. Injuries, best available team, best guys. Patrick Mahomes says he has no physical limits heading into camp. He was injured at the end of last year, but, you know, he's still in the Super Bowl. But, you know, one of the faces, if not the face of the sport. I don't know why he wouldn't have a great year if he's healthy.
Yeah. Their biggest thing was they were exposed for the fact that their offensive line, and they had injuries and different things.
But there's an all-new line this year.
Yeah, they needed to re-up because you took care of your quarterback, you got your tight ends, you got wide receivers, all you got a really solid team. Honey Badger on the defensive end, defensive side, excuse me. But in that Super Bowl, I mean, he was running for his life, man. I mean, by the time he's taken two steps, they are at him. That just can't happen. And if they took care of that, they'll be fine because he's pretty good at last time I checked.
Yeah. It'll work out for him. Also, NFL, one of our stories we had at the top here on First Things First. NFL coach is out. Coach Dennison in Minnesota is out. Not a head coach, but NFL coach, excuse me. Dennison is out because of the refusal to get vaccinated. We told you about the policy that the league is going to put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And Minnesota and him have agreed to part ways. And I don't believe this will be the only one. I think there was some talk maybe something happened in New England as well with a coach there. So they got to sort that all out.
No doubt. Like, it's going to come a time where, first of all, I think that I asked you earlier today, I said, how many teams are in the NFL? I think you said 32.
32.
And I heard a number. I think it was 19 of the 32 teams had about an 80 to 85% vaccination rate, which those are the numbers where you want to start trending towards that from my understanding. So, like, yeah, this isn't going to be the only – there's going to be players. And who was it recently that just tweeted about vaccination?
DeAndre Hopkins?
DeAndre Hopkins. Like, the players, that's going to be real interesting because we're talking a lot more money, different stuff, the ability to be with them in close quarters. There's so many different things, and teammates are going to be kind of looking at each other. This could cause some friction, I think, ultimately at some point.
And the second one, just to get it out here, Patriots co-offensive line coach Cole Popovich will no longer be on the staff due to COVID-19 requirements.
Any relation?
Actually, it's like a distant connection to Greg Popovich.
Okay.
But yeah.
Co-offensive
line coach.
So what is that? Is that letting people know that we have somebody else?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they'll be the full-time. Yeah.
Those are the little things that are said and done. Just sending a shout out there. Like, okay, he's the offensive line coach. He's not coming back. Where I'm fascinated, Jason, I guess is the word, is what are they going to do with them? How do they go? Are they out? Do they have a smaller?
Yeah.
What is that going to look like in the big scheme of things?
And here's one of the things, because I talked about the tier one, tier two employees. This is excluding players. So just to get the facts out there on this, the league did tell clubs this, Doug, back in, where was this? April. Here's the quote. So again, these are tier one and tier two employees, not counting players. Quote, should be expected to be vaccinated unless they have a bona fide medical or religious ground for not doing so. Those who refuse vaccination without either a religious or medical reason will not be eligible for Tier 1 or Tier 2 status and therefore will not be permitted access to the football-only restricted area and may not work directly or in close proximity with players. So, again, that's a Tier 1, Tier 2 employee. That takes the players out of it. But that's coaches, that's staff, that's, you know, like our example, we were in, were we yellow zone employees at
yes,
the arena?
Yes, we were yellow. And then certain they were access, green down on the floor.
Or was that red? I thought that was
red.
Yeah, red, for those,
excuse me. We were
so
yellow.
We couldn't get down there. But those red badges, that's players, that's some staff, that's courtside, different testing requirements. We had some of our requirements. But if you're going to be in this area, the league said, this is what you have to go through.
Yeah.
The Tier 1, Tier 2 NFL, their statement is vaccinations are required. That's their business. That's their choice. Much like it's Dennison's choice to say, I don't want to do that. Well, you can't be a tier one or tier two employee.
I'll actually be interested to see what I'll say the NBA, but the NBA and the Kings do for the California Classic. Like, are we still up in that booth area? Because I'm just, as we start having fans in and different stuff, do they have us off the floor? Do we go down into the other area where we used to broadcast the games from? Those are questions. Like, and ultimately, I think it's just going to evolve before us, the same way that we slowly started seeing people. It was 1,500, mm-hmm. then it was 2,000, then all of a sudden it was half of the stadium. And then in the playoffs, it's like full bore, and it was beautiful. But now we're seeing a variant of the COVID, and, man, we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah. And I know, again, this is an area out of my scope, I will say, but like when you said lawyer up, I as an entity, though, if you kind of state it with these are our rules, you know, could Denison have said this is my medical concern, this is my religious belief? Maybe, and if that's passed, but other than that, this is an entity that's trying to keep their businesses going.
Yeah, people can
they'll find the smallest thing. You're right,
and for anything. So the point is, this is going when you talk about a multi-billion-dollar business and you have an employee, it's the big guy versus the small guy.
Right.
Sometimes it'll just be big bank take little bank. That's just how it goes. But I think that at some point, because this is more of a global phenomenon, this is a pandemic, so it's not just strictly here in America. This is the world. We're going to see these things go to court, especially when you start talking about religious and all that type of stuff.
Someone will do it.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing, and we'll be here.
Yeah. And, again, I still think if that's two coaches in, what, 24 hours, we might see more.
Yeah.
And, again, it's back to you have the choice, but so does the – everybody has their rights here. The person to make their own individual decision, but also the entity in this case that's the NFL has their – stance in their position.
Hey, you coach somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're good at what you do, obviously.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll let you do that.
Right.
It's a thing. We were talking to somebody about, or maybe I was listening to it on the radio, and they were saying that for some players on the fringe in the NFL, and this is uncouth, and this is how they said it, it might do you better if you're vaccinated and make the team.
Yeah.
And I said it underneath my voice on purpose like
right.
that. Because it's almost like I'm pulling you aside. Let me pull your coattail, homie. Come here for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so there's three of you. All you guys aren't vaccinated.
Right.
But if you are, it might help you out.
Yeah. You're a vet. Like, hey, what I'm trying, maybe special teams. Is that my thing? Yeah. Yes. Weight room, film. Yes. But one other advantage? Go get that shot in your arm.
However, and to our listeners, however you feel about that,
yeah.
I'm okay with that because I'm not judging anybody. I'm doing me, Jason, Jay, and that is the whole point here.
Right.
You have a choice.
But so does the team. And again, it's like, it's between
do you Christy
and
here?
Ross. Christy's vaccinated. Ross. Doug, welcome to the team. Sorry, Jason, you're gone. That kind of thing. It could be.
Yeah, I'm going to beat you out.
They'll tell me, your talent was just far superior, but your refusal, no. But that could be a thing.
Yes. I don't think it could be. I think it is going to be.
Yeah.
When I say we don't know what we don't know, the people that are making the decisions don't even, because
right.
it hasn't happened yet. Now, we're talking about Rick Denison as a coach. I don't know, was he the first one?
Yeah, and then I think Popovich
okay,
was after.
Then another. Right. So somebody's going to be first. We've seen DeAndre Hopkins tweet out. I hadn't seen that. Like, there's going to be a player.
Right.
There's going to be beef in the locker room. Like, look, man, if you're going to be – and then I watched you on IG and you was out at the club and you're not vaccinated, you come in here, you're messing with my money and my family and woo-woo. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So why did they get in a fight? Oh, we're all speculating. They got in a fight because he wasn't and he was, and now you done – hey, here we are.
But we're also talking about real world, same situation where there's star player, any team, any position that's not, it's like, well, we'll kind of live with that one because hopefully nothing happens to you. Hopefully we keep you on the field. But We pay you this. You mean this much to us in wins. But now we're talking about the guys that are fringe.
Yep.
It's a cutthroat.
It totally is. We will deal with the stuff as long as the production matches.
Yep.
That's the capitalistic part of the society that we live in.
I guess where it could get really interesting, and I don't know where this falls in all the head coach, but if there's a head coach with real name and status that gets on this side of thinking, well, under the letter of the law, you're gone. But I don't.
That's why it was big when Nick Saban came out.
Yeah,
I thought, especially who he is, Roll Tide, national championships, arguably the best coach, and the part of the country that he's in. Mm-hmm. I was like, "Woo, Nick!
Yeah,
wow, okay, I see you." And
statement made.
I would have to think that the people on his staff, it's a thing.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, final hour coming up. Still Tell Me Something Good, the crossover. Also, we'll get into what happens to the rest of the Big 12 if this Texas and Oklahoma news truly goes to fruition. But when we come back, it is 5 on it. That is straight ahead here on KHDK.